ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
We're told, after these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." This is speaking again of the 144,000 Jewish believers who have been now sealed by God for protection through this time. And during this time, we're going to see one-third of the vegetation destroyed, one-third of the oceans destroyed, one-third of the fresh water supply destroyed, one-third of the sunlight destroyed. And that's just the first four trumpet judgments. The winds of judgment are about to blow upon this land as these four restraining angels step out of the way. And thus, look at verse 7 of Revelation 8. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. One third of the earth's vegetation is destroyed with this trumpet judgment. In fact, the Greek word for trees, dendron, usually means fruit trees, along with the destruction of the grass or the pasture lands. What is that going to destroy? It's going to destroy the meat, the milk industries. There's going to be famine. There's going to be death. Now, I understand there are those who don't believe this is literal. But how else are you going to take it? What other way do you think that what this means? It doesn't make any sense. One writer said, "If the truth is, if earth, trees, and grass do not mean earth, trees, and grass, no man could tell what they mean. Letting go the literal signification of the record, we launch out upon an endless sea of sheer conjecture." Absolutely. This is literal. One third of the vegetation destroyed in this judgment. And it sounds kind of familiar because we see it with the seventh plague that came upon Egypt in Exodus 9. We're told in verse 19 of Exodus 9, "Therefore, send now and gather your livestock and all that you have in the field, for the hail shall come down on every man and on every animal which is found in the field and is not brought home, and they shall die." Verse 25, "And the hail struck throughout the whole land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast, and the hail struck every herb of the field and broke every tree of the field." It's kind of similar. And here we see, again, one-third of the earth's vegetation destroyed with this first trumpet blast as this hail was hurled down upon the earth. You know, have you seen what happens to flowers when you get heavy hail? It's not pretty. They are just destroyed, right? That's what we're seeing here. Now, how do you explain this judgment? Some say, well, it's an atomic explosion or a meteor shower or some other natural disaster. Henry Morris put it like this. He wrote in the Revelation Record, his book, "The masses of water vapor blown skyward may well condense in the intense updrafts as hailstones. The blood entrapped men and animals might be mingled with them, or possibly showers of liquid water drops might be so contaminated with dust and gases as to appear blood red. It may be possible that angelic hosts will divert the path of one of the many comets with which the solar system abounds so that the earth will pass through its tail. The most spectacular comet with which we are familiar, Halley's Comet, would not need to stray too far from its normal orbit to envelop earth in its fiery train. Whether such an experience would produce the phenomena described in this passage, we do not know, since our scientists have no experimental data to go on yet." I'm always interested in the explanations, but you know what? God is God. Does he need anything natural? No, he could do it any way he wants, because he's God. He could do what he wants. Now, here's the thing. I know he's going to do it, though. I'm certain of that. How he's going to do it, I don't always understand. And I can make all the conjectures I want, and I could be totally wrong, so I'm not going to do that. But it's interesting, for those that are the environmentalists, you know, the tree huggers, sorry, I don't want to offend anyone, God's going to judge this planet. And I think what we see happening is related to what Paul spoke of in Romans chapter 1, where man worships the creation rather than the creator, rather than God. And God is destroying what man is worshiping, which is interesting. And they can't do anything about it. Their only hope is to come to saving faith. And I think you can see, just even with this first trumpet blast, why God sealed those 144,000. This is pretty fierce judgment that's coming upon the earth. One third of the earth's vegetation wiped out just with that one blast. Look at verse 8 here in Revelation 8. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Now, here's the second trumpet that sounds. And a third, one third of the oceans now are destroyed. Now, how are they destroyed? Well, some say a mountain was thrown into the sea. I would ask you to read the text very carefully. What does it say? It says something like a great mountain. It wasn't a great mountain, but it was huge, like a great mountain that was thrown into the sea. Massive. Again, a gigantic meteorite, asteroid, comet. I don't know. Kind of give you a perspective of the devastation that would occur if a meteor 1 mile wide fell into the ocean. It would create a tidal wave that was some 2 miles high, and it would travel at over 600 miles per hour. 2 miles high. Can you imagine that? Let me ask you a question here. Where does the majority of the oxygen on planet Earth come from? I think most people today would say the rainforests, right? Wrong. That is not where the majority of the world's oxygen comes from. It comes from the phytoplankton and algae that are found in the world's oceans and seas. 80% of the oxygen comes from the oceans and the sea. That's why it's kind of funny when, you know, the environmentalists say, we're killing the rainforest and we're going to die because there's not going to be any oxygen. No, the oceans produce 80% of the oxygen that we breathe. So if that's devastated, if the sea life is destroyed, it's going to have devastating effects upon planet Earth and man. One third of the ships are going to be destroyed. And if some of those ships are nuclear powered, that could cause more problems, right? So one third of the oceans destroyed, one third of the sea life destroyed, one third of the ships destroyed in the second trumpet blast. Look at the third one here in Revelation 8:10. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. And the name of the star is Wormwood, and a third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. So here we see one third of the fresh water supply destroyed, and the star is called Wormwood. It's interesting, some people speculate, well, you know, Chernobyl, it means wormwood. Well, we know what happened with the Chernobyl disaster. I don't think that's the point here. The Greek word for star is aster, and it speaks of any celestial body other than the sun or moon. So we don't know. Is it a comet, meteor that crashes to the earth that affects the fresh water supply? I don't know. God has a plan. These are, though, the effects. And one third of the fresh water supply is destroyed. Wow. Can you imagine that? One third becomes bitter, poison, death. In Jeremiah 9, verses 13 through 15, we're told, and the Lord said, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, nor walked according to it, but they have walked according to the dictates of their own hearts and after the Baals, which their fathers taught them. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, this people, with wormwood and give them water of gall to drink. Again, it's speaking of the judgment of God. This was a judgment. And it's now here in Revelation, it's God's judgment upon a Christ-rejecting world. Pretty severe judgments. One-third of the vegetation, one-third of the oceans, one-third of the fresh water supply destroyed in just the first three trumpet judgments. And people go, wow, God is pretty vengeful. He's pretty hateful. Our God is so gracious and merciful. There is no doubt about it. He's very long-suffering. He gives people an opportunity, even during the tribulation period, to turn to him. There are going to be millions upon millions that do. Many martyred for their faith, as we saw back in Revelation chapter 7. But God is pouring out his wrath to deal with the earth dwellers so he can set up his kingdom. We need fresh water to survive, right? And people say, well, it's only one-third of the fresh water supply that's bad. Well, depending where you're living, that's horrible. Right? It's been reported that some 440 billion gallons of water fall from the sky in the form of rain, snow, and hail just in this country on a daily basis. I don't think out west it's happening that much, but we had some good rain today. 25% or 110 billion gallons makes its way into the lakes, rivers, reservoirs that become our drinking water. But a study that was done showed 3,360 reservoirs showed 30% or just 1,008 of those reservoirs were contaminated to the point of not even meeting the minimal safety standards for drinking. So we already have a problem with that. But here, one-third is going to be so bad, you can't even drink it. It's bitter, you might say. When we get to the bowl judgments, when we look at Revelation 16:4, we're told all of the fresh water supply is contaminated. That's why I said when the bowl judgments are poured out, they have to be at the very end, and they have to be like a Gatling gun, bam, 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 fired off. Because if this was a long period of time, no one would be able to live. They would die because you need water. You can go maybe 2 days without water, 3, 4, if you push it, if it's not real hot and you're not losing a lot of fluids. But that's about it. What's interesting is they refuse the living water, Jesus Christ. And without him, you're going to always be thirsty, and they will be. And there will be nothing to satisfy their thirst. Here in Revelation 8, one-third of the fresh water supply destroyed, poisoned, and there's still four trumpet judgments to go. Look at verse 12. Then the fourth angel sounded. And a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened, and a third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. So a third of the sun destroyed, or a third less light upon the earth. It also affects a third of the moon and a third of the stars. One pastor said, still reeling from the effects of the first three ecological judgments, people will be desperately seeking answers to the crisis. There will no doubt be seminars, conferences, emergency sessions of the United Nations, discussing among scientists, all desperately but futility seeking to cope with the damage to the Earth's ecosystems. In the midst of all that frenzied activity comes a new disaster in the sky as a third of the sun, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars were smitten. What's it speaking of? Well, the Greek word that's used for struck in Revelation 8:12 is plizo. And this Greek word can mean plague, which is very interesting. It seems like what John is telling us is that the sun, the moon, and the stars will be hit with some kind of plague, in a sense, from God. And they'll become sick and not able to function to their full capacity. What's going on here? Well, I think what John is telling us is that because of all the cataclysmic judgments that have come upon the earth so far, that the earth's rotation or tilt is changed. And thus the typical 24-hour day is going to be changed, maybe to a 16-hour day. Amos 8:9, we're told, and it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord God, that I will make the sun go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in broad daylight. Now, I think that's a picture of what was going to happen on Calvary as Jesus hung on the cross, and at 12 noon, the skies were darkened until 3 p.m. when he died. But I think this is also looking to what's going to take place here in the tribulation period. It seems like something's going to happen to the earth's rotation that changes the amount of sunlight that we get. Isaiah 24, verses 19 and 20. The earth is violently broken. The earth is split open. The earth is shaken exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard and shall totter like a hut. Its transgression shall be heavy upon it, and it will fall and not rise again. So Isaiah is pretty specific about what's going to happen, that the earth is going to wobble like a drunken sailor, you might say, or stagger like someone who's drunk. What can cause that to happen? Well, could be an impact of a large meteor or a comet could cause a severe wobble in the earth's rotation, could cause it to stagger like a drunken man. Also, an earthquake can cause the earth to wobble or stagger like a drunken man. I'll give you two instances that these were not huge ones, but they show that it can happen. A 9.0 magnitude earthquake that ravaged Japan also shortened Earth's day by just over 1/1,000,000th of a second. I don't know if any of you noticed that. 1/1,000,000th of a second we lost. Didn't? Okay. Maybe it was just me. But it also shifted the Earth's axis by 6.5 inches. Interesting. One earthquake. In Revelation chapter 6, there's a huge earthquake, right? Every mountain, every island is going to be moved out of its place. An earthquake that unleashed deadly tidal waves on Asia was so powerful it made the earth wobble, it says in this article, on its axis and permanently altered the regional map. U.S. geophysicists said today, the 9.0 magnitude tremblers that struck 250 kilometers southeast of Sumatra Island on Sunday may have moved small islands as much as 20 meters, according to experts. Moved an island. What's happening during the tribulation period is going to even be more intense. Is this what's going to happen? I don't know. But I do know it's going to happen. 33% reduction in light. 8 hours of daylight, 16 hours of darkness. Can you imagine that? It's almost like winter in Wisconsin, right? Sorry. But it's getting darker earlier, and I don't like it, as you can tell. But isn't it interesting? Jesus is the light of the world. They don't want the light, so what does God give them? Give you darkness. What is the lake of fire also called? Outer darkness. Isn't that interesting? Their judgment is eternal in the lake of fire, outer darkness, because they rejected the light. Isaiah 13, verses 9 through 10. Behold, the day of the Lord comes cruel with both wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he will destroy its sinners from it. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened in its going forth, and the moon will not cause its light to shine. Ezekiel 32, verses 7 and 8. When I put out your light, I will cover the heavens and make its stars dark. I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon shall not give her light. All the bright lights of the heavens I will make dark over you and bring darkness upon your land, says the Lord God. And in Luke 21, verses 25 through 28, we're told, and there will be signs in the sun and the moon and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. They will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. Yeah. And lastly, in Matthew 24, verses 29 and 30, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. The sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So now we're at the end of the tribulation period. We're with the bowl judgments, and light is taken away. Interesting. But here in this fourth trumpet judgment, one-third of the sun is darkened, one-third of the moon, one-third of the stars. You think, wow, those were intense judgments. It can't get any worse than that, can it? You ain't seen nothing yet. Look at what verse 13 says here in Revelation chapter 8. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound." This angelic messenger of God, some of your Bibles may say an eagle. I don't think that's right. It's an angelic messenger. Cries out, "Woe," but not just once, three times. Why does he cry, "Woe"? Because what's going to take place? And he says, "Woe, woe, woe." This is a warning to man that he needs to repent and get right with God, because the judgments are only going to get worse and worse. Or as this angel said, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound." Think about that. We still have three more blasts, right? And the seventh trumpet is going to unleash the seven bowl judgments, which are even worse. Which are even worse. Today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. What are you going to wait for? Oh, I'm going to wait during the tribulation period. If I see these things happening, I'll turn to God. You won't. Man's heart can be so hard and cold, but God's grace is extended to people. There was a Scottish lawyer that was really this wicked, wicked man. And he once hired a horse, and either through an accident or ill usage, he killed the animal. Well, the owner insisted on being paid for its value and some compensation for the loss of its use. And the man didn't deny that he did wrong. He didn't have the money yet. "Sure, I'll pay you back. I just don't have the cash." "Would you accept a promissory note?" Well, the guy said, "Yeah, okay, fine. I'll trust you on this." And the lawyer further said that he must be allowed a long date. The creditor said, "You can fix your own time. Oh, that's fine." The wicked man then drew the note, making it payable at the day of judgment. Well, the creditor took the matter to the court. And in defense, the lawyer asked the judge to look at the note. This is what the lawyer said as he read the note. "The promissory note is perfectly good, sir. And as this is the day of judgment, I declare that you pay tomorrow." I like that. The day of judgment is coming, guys. And man, there are warning signs all over this world. You look at what is happening and it's amazing. We are being set up for a one world government. It's coming before our eyes. Watch what China is doing. Look at what China is doing in taking countries that they feel are theirs. You watch what Russia is doing. Watch what the Muslim nations that surround Israel are doing. Watch what Israel is doing. Keep an eye on the United Nations. You know, they are planning on this great reset, and they have their ideas by 2030, it's going to be all implemented. It'll be a global government. You will own nothing and be happy. We won't be here, hopefully. But it's all coming to pass. Today is the day of salvation for people. It's not time to put that off. Zephaniah 2:3, "Seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth, who have upheld his justice. Seek righteousness, seek humility. It may be that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger." Absolutely. And I like what Paul said. "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness." Because the day of God's judgment is coming. What an opportunity we have to let people know that God loves them and died for them, so they can live with him and they won't be judged in this period of time. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. It's so hard to read sometimes because of these devastating judgments, but you've warned people. You've given the opportunity to turn, just like when you brought the flood upon this world. You gave people an opportunity, 120 years. And here, since Jesus coming, God becoming flesh, dwelling amongst us, going to the cross of Calvary to pay for our sins, it's almost been 2,000 years. What grace and mercy, how long-suffering you are. And I pray for those that don't know you, Lord, that their hearts would be softened, their eyes would be opened, that they would come to saving faith. And I pray for us, Lord, as believers, that you would give us a boldness like we never had before to share our faith. We love you so much, and we want to see people come into the kingdom of God. Bring them across our path, give us the words to say, and soften their hearts that they may come to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.